This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Good morning, everybody, on this rainy Saturday. It's kind of miserable out there, but hey, at least it's warming up a little bit, somewhat. Hope you're having a good weekend. Again, another strange weekend. No football. NBA basketball with the All-Star game coming up and all kind of good things. But, of course, we'll be here for the next 3 hours. We'll be taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Lots of stuff going on, though, so let's get started with some headlines. All right, so last night, of course, really not a lot in the NFL, but one signing. Kansas City Chiefs signed David Amerson, a cornerback who was a guy that was cut by the Oakland Raiders. Kind of curious because they cut Darrell Revis. Amerson was able to make about $9 million, a little less than that, on a Raider contract when he signed it. But then this will be his third team, started off with the Washington Redskins. So kind of a shift in cornerbacks for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sure they came in a little economically better in that deal. We'll see, because they're about $31 million over the cap, so that they got to try to resolve. In other news, of course, the Husky basketball team has a big one tonight against Colorado, 5 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network. Isaiah Thomas is getting his number retired, and, of course, he's in town for that. And, of course, kind of interesting, he's taking the All-Star weekend off and coming in here for that, but it's kind of a great thing. But the Huskies need this game. They've lost three in a row, and they definitely have to try to turn this thing around if they want to make the NCAA tournament. As far as other things going on, it's it looks like the hockey team, U.S. hockey team, locked to UAR last night, so they're now in the quarter. They're not in the quarterfinal rounds. That's going to be the UAR team, but U.S. is trying to go through the qualifier round to see if they can stay in this thing. Lindsey Vonn finished sixth in her slalom, the slalom G, so she didn't get the victory, and we got a silver medal. But right now, the Americans right now not doing as well as you would hope in the Olympics, but still, this could be a very impactful weekend, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How are we doing this fine Saturday morning, sir?
Doing well. How about you?
Oh, enjoying the rain. You know,
you enjoying the rain? Really?
I like how you said the bright side of it. The temperature's going up.
That's true.
That's a good thing.
It's getting lighter later, too, even though you can't see it with no sun.
Tell me about it. But Mr. Clay, you were just talking about Kansas City signing the cornerback. Now, they're going to release Johnson. You know, you think they're going to have to release some other people, particularly on that defensive side of the ball.
Right.
How do you see that portraying right now? Because there's going to be some big cuts coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, my guess is that they're probably going to let Tom Bahali go. Derek Johnson had a void in his contract, and so they let that go, and so now he's out of there. And I think they want to try to get a little bit younger. I mean, that Revis goes so far, and they've got to do a lot of things because, again, they're the team that's over the cap more than any other team in the National Football League. So, you know, they did trade Alex Smith. That'll help them out. You know, that doesn't come off the books until March 14th, and they are going with a younger quarterback. So I think you can see they're going to go a little bit younger, but here's the problem I look at twofold. Okay, they're a playoff team last year, but they, it's a team that, you know, still doesn't finish strong and it doesn't do well in the playoffs. And so now you look at this, the window's not closing, but I think in a little bit starting to close. Andy Reid's been able to get three trips to the playoffs and do a great job in that. But what you worry about is that now he's making more of the roster decisions. Is he going to make the right ones? I mean, I looked at the fact that, going before the Alex Smith trade, they only had four draft choices. You know, they were able to trade for Reggie Ragland and they, you know, made a couple other trades and all that. So they're a little bit sparse as far as that goes. And then the other problem is that, you look and you can see that they're going to take a step back temporarily, short term, with Patrick Mahomes taking over because he's not going to be as efficient as Alex Smith. Now, ultimately, he could be the better quarterback. I mean, he could be the one that can get them playoff victories down the line, but it's not going to happen, I think, in the first year because this is going to be his first year starting.
Well, you know, let's stay right there in the AFC West. And when you look at the AFC West, I look at the San Diego Chargers in there. I look at them as being a team. Now, how are they as far as cap-wise is concerned? I think they're pretty good, aren't they?
Who's that again?
How is San Diego as far as cap-wise?
They're not bad. Yeah, they're not too bad.
They're not too bad?
No.
And you look at them at the end of the year, they were playing some pretty good football at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to keep Ken Whisenhunt there as the offensive coordinator, and they kept Gus Bradley as the defensive coordinator. So, the pieces are in place. by the way they played last year, I could see the San Diego Chargers making causing some trouble in that division. What do you
think? Well, I can agree with that, yeah, because I think that they've got a great quarterback in Phillip Rivers. They've got to try to re-sign Antonio Gates, and they've made the conversion to a 4-3 defense, which I think is a little bit better for them because I think it gets the most out of their defensive line. They're real good at the cornerback position. They have one of the better cornerback tandems in the league, and it's just a matter of got a good running game. So I think there's a lot of positive things right now for them.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, the Raiders, I think they're going to be good with John Gruden coming back over there on the team. But it has a maturation process that they're going to have to go through, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. I think they're going to have to do a lot of rebuilding on the defensive side of the ball, as far as the Raiders are concerned. And even on the offense, can they get a running game going? Or are they going to bring Marshawn Lynch back?
And that's what, John Gruden seems to be suggesting that. I still kind of wonder about that, because I wonder, if like Marshawn doesn't show up for the OTAs and the mini camps and the stuff like that, how John Gruden's going to tolerate it, because he probably won't.
Yeah, if he doesn't show up for the mini camps and stuff like that, it's going to be a problem.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a problem. So, you see, that's where, now, when you come to the Denver Broncos, it's all but one thing in the Denver Broncos, is a quarterback. Are they going to go to the draft and get that quarterback, Mr. Clayton?
I think they're going to go for Kirk Cousins. I know it's going to be a press on their cap, but I think that they'll try to – John Elway will try to go for the best. He tried it 2 years trying to get young at the quarterback position. But I know that they're going to have interest in A.J. McCarron. I know they're going to have interest in Tyrod Taylor once he's let go by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, those two guys I think are on the radar. But I think Kirk Cousins is the one, and I think that you can already see that Von Miller's trying to recruit him. Other players in the team are trying to recruit him. And if they can get him, I think that'll be good.
Let's talk about Kirk Cousins. Let's look at free agency right now as far as quarterbacks are concerned. Drew Brees is up there. I think 99% of the time, I think Drew's going back to New Orleans.
Agreed.
Now, you go to Kirk Cousins, and you got Case Keenum out there. There's not that much out there as far as quarterbacks are concerned in free agency.
I disagree with that because, in a normal year, you're looking at like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh McCown. I mean, this year when you're talking about Kirk Cousins, a $28 million plus quarterback, maybe he hasn't earned that, but again, he's going to collect that. So I think that he's going to go. You go Cousins, Mahomes, you got three quarterbacks from the Minnesota Vikings. There's more quarterbacks available. When you throw in the draft, some people think now this draft is not going to be the 1983 draft with four Hall of Famers, blah, 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 at quarterback. But again, you've got four quarterbacks that can go in the top 10 and another that could go in the a fifth that can go in the first round. So if you're talking about five first-round quarterbacks and about seven or eight starting quarterbacks, you never have this many quarterbacks available.
Oh, yeah, and particularly in the draft, but I was talking about like free agency. When you look at free agency right now, you look at the guys in Minnesota. Would you give Sam Bradford a lot of money, Mr. Clayton, with all his injury problems?
No, I tried to bring him down to like about 12, maybe 9.
Case Keenum, do you trust Case Keenum to come and take the helm of your team right now?
I wouldn't, but somebody's going to. I think he's going to get over $18 million a year. He did go to a championship game.
Yeah, he did. But all right, you look at Kirk Cousins. If you look at last year, don't get me wrong, I think he's a pretty decent guy, but a decent quarterback. $28 million to give Kirk Cousins, that shows a lot of desperation in my point of view. I know they're going to go out and go, and I know the Denver Broncos are desperate for a quarterback right now, and they're going to take him. But I would go toward the draft and maybe pick me a young quarterback up.
I think what you're going to see is a lot of mixing and matching. I think that, you saw what Chicago did last year. Now, they probably made a big mistake paying $15 million to Mike Glennon, and I'm sure they're going to cut him. But, they were able to draft a quarterback and, a veteran quarterback. I think you'll see Cleveland do that. So I think Cleveland will go after A.J. McCarron and then try to draft a quarterback. And then, they'll do a shorter-term deal on McCarron. It gets them a chance to get back with Hugh Jackson and get a deal to, at least get some playing time and get some experience and then try to get another contract someplace else.
Could you sell Kirk Cousins to Cleveland?
No. No, you can't. He's not going to buy that. If you have a choice, are you going to go to a team that's 1-31? You're going to get losses pinned on you. I would say if you're Kirk Cousins, you don't go to Cleveland, even if they pay you the most money.
That's the only thing I think they got going in their favor, that they have a lot of money.
That's it. Yeah, that's all they have.
That's the only thing. Then Ndamukong Suh, is he going to go get cut in Miami?
I don't think so.
I know he's coming. Huh?
I don't think he is, no.
He's got $19 million coming up this year, isn't he?
Yeah, he does. But he's a $19 million contract. So It's a lot of money, but again, it's like you take that out of the middle of the line, it's going to weaken that line. Again, they underachieve as a defense. Mm-hmm. They struggle trying to stop the run, but overall, it's I can't see them doing that.
Okay, throw it back at you. Do you see them re-signing Jarvis Landry?
They better, because it may cost them 14 or 15 million bucks a year, but they better re-sign him, because all of a sudden then their offense is going to get worse.
Yeah, and the thing is also do you feel that Miami should be in the quarterback?
I do not. No, I think they're going to stay with Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill all the way?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he's going to be healed from the ACL injury. He's not a bad quarterback. And again, are you going to get better at the quarterback position? I don't know if they can.
I don't see that. But you know what team I think that should be in the market for Kirk Cousins also? There's about three teams should be in the market for him besides you talking about the Denver Broncos, the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Bills might be in the market for him. And how about the Arizona Cardinals?
But I don't think they're going to pay the $28 million. I just don't think they're going to do that.
You know, but could you see him in Buffalo in their offense? I mean,
he'd fit in fine because he's a good quarterback. I mean, he's out there. He can go out there every year and throw for 4,000 yards. Hey, JB, I've got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton.
Okay.
Thanks, Saturday, my friend.
All righty. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Come back and continue with your phone calls. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, John, doing fine. So some recent information about the Silver and Black. Looks like Seabass, also known as Sebastian Janikowski, place kicker for the Raiders, won't be signed.
Nope.
Coming back to the Silverback. I mean, he had an 18-year career. He was the highest scorer in franchise history, which is saying something for that story franchise.
Mm-hmm.
The last player selected by the late Al Davis, selected number one for the team, 17th overall that year. He holds the record for the most 50-plus yard field goals, and he was just a great player, John. What do you think?
Yeah, he really was. I mean, he did such a great job. But, I mean, you kind of understand. He's 39 years old. They find a cheaper kicker in Trebekio, the guy that is right now making the minimum. So it's not like – and, you know, they have to kind of make transitions and make sacrifices because they got to come up with a Khalil Mack contract, probably do some other things on the team. So I don't think there's any surprise. And, you know, Trebekio did a good enough job. And so at some point you just have to move on because you figured that Seabass can probably still command $2.5 to $3 to $4 million.
Right. Well, he's had back problems. He had some other issues, and
he was never in shape.
You know, I don't know how those kickers get away with it, John, but he seems to be able to pull it off of each and every year because of that strong leg of his, that big left leg of his, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think he'll make the Hall of Fame, John?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
It's hard for a kicker to do that. I mean, it's just
it is.
I mean, kicker, I mean, again, you saw how it took Ray Guy. He had to go as a senior to make it in there. It's just very difficult to do.
Right. I mean, even Jan Stenerode and Morten Andersen, took them years to get in there. And they're totally great. They were totally great kickers, John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of judging their greatness. It's just a matter that it's just very difficult to do. Again, because you're going up against everyday players. And, Martin Andersen, I was happy he was able to make it last year, but it's I just don't see it. It's like, he was would you say he's the best kicker of his era? And I wouldn't say he would be. I mean, he would either go with Adam Vinatieri or maybe somebody else.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, John. That's a very good comparison, actually. Here comes a pun, John. And he leaks the rumor that he may be a Hawks kicker for a while.
No. One of the things and I'll say this now consistently every day, is that everybody wants, Namon will come up, and he's an unrestricted free agent, and he can get $2.5 to $3 million. You're going to lose a compensatory pick, and this team's going to need those compensatory picks to make the transition from the current older roster to a younger roster. And again, it gives them trading ability with the compensatory picks. So I would say no.
Right. I agree with that, John. I totally agree. John, did you see Jerry McDonald of the Oakland Tribune was able to get the first interview with Gruden since he was hired a month ago? I mean, I think it was instructive to to hear Gruden's thoughts on Tom Cable, for instance. Did you see that article?
I didn't see the article, but I know that J-Mac has a very good relationship with him, and so I'm not surprised he was able to get that interview.
Sure, and I mean, you've even suggested to me here on this show he'd be a good one to constantly, you know, look into his articles, because he does write very well. I mean,
oh, yeah.
He's got a great relationship with the team, and one of the few, I would argue.
He's been around a long time.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. The thing that was instructive, John, is that, you know, and you've made this argument, is that, you know, a lot of people go, well, you know, Cable's a zone-blocking guy, and that's not the kind of line that they have on that personnel for that team. And, you know, they're kind of straight-ahead power-blocking scheme. And Gruden was saying, no, he, you know, Cable can teach both and different methods, and it's not going to be an issue for this team to have Cable on that team, you know. And if you think about it, I think that was the only team Cable could have landed on, given all of the other extraneous things going on with the Me Too issue with Tom Cable and his personal life.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I think he was definitely in play. And again, those issues are behind him right now. And you notice, I mean, how long did it take, a nanosecond, for Cable to get the job with Oakland or to get a job? I don't think he was ever any difficulty trying to find a job.
Okay. Okay, John. The Silver and Black have some roster moves to consider, John. They're about $20 million with cap space. I think what they're, according to the over the cap, they're in the lower third comparatively to other teams. I mean, they've got some big contracts to consider, and whether they're not going to keep these guys around, like Crabtree, he's got a 7.7 cap space, Irvin, 8.2, Smith at 8.5. I mean, you talked with JB earlier about Martin. Take all those together, that's about $30 million, John.
And again, they're going to have to pay $20 million for Khalil Mack, and they've also got to start another year paying Amari Cooper, and that's not going to be easy.
Yeah, you think they'll extend Amari, or like they did with Khalil Mack?
I think they'll do it one year at a time. I think they'll do Mack this year, and then maybe Cooper the year after.
Okay, all right. Okay, John. Well, that's all I have tonight.
Okay.
Today, dear John, thanks so much.
Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Muhammad. Muhammad, how are you?
How are you this morning?
I'm doing good.
I have two questions for you. So the first one is about Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit surprised that the Seahawks are talking about, like, releasing him, because he was playing hurt, like, all last year, and he still has somewhat a productive year, and it's not like they have a replacement in the waiting, right?
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
Okay. So you think?
I mean, the only thing that you can say, that because, you know, what they hope they had was Malik McDowell, you know, a guy that you know, maybe, but that didn't work out, and I don't know if McDowell's ever going to play, so that one was not there. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it takes a lot of sacks out, because you take Averill and Michael Bennett away. I mean, they got to be in the market for a defensive end.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing, I'm just a little bit baffled about the Seattle, like the free agent move that Seattle made last year. I mean, like, Lacy, his team gave up on him. He was overweight. He's coming off an injury, and they gave him $7 million. And then, like, Luke Jokel did not work out. And even, like, the whole offensive line player evaluation, whether it's with Jermaine Effetti, like, I read somewhere that, you know, his last year in college, he was one of the worst offensive linemen. Like, he gave up a lot of sacks and stuff. Yet still, the Seahawks grabbed him at the end of the first round. So I'm just a little bit baffled about these continuous, like, misses on, you know, free agents and offensive linemen, the ones that they draft. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing that they've got to fix, and they've got to get right. And you know, there's going to be the pressure to do that. But that's why, you know, you can still see they made a good move by getting Dwayne Brown. I know he's older, but they got him. I think that could help out. That's one good step. You know, Justin Britt was a success. They have great hopes for Ethan Posick. And, you know, I think the experiment of having Effetti at tackle did not work out. He was better at guard. So I think you make that switch. And, you know, really, I mean, they may have enough that they can get through without adding anybody, but they may not. Jordan Roos looks like a little bit of a surprise. You know, he's the undrafted guy, got a $20,000 signing bonus. He has some potential there, too. And, you know, they still have George Fant coming back from the ACL. So there's options there, but now it's a matter, you know, it's going to be Mike Solari to see what he can do and how he can coach him and try to get them right.
So one last thing for you, like, do you notice patterns in the league where, like, certain teams, like the Steelers, are just very good at picking up running backs and receivers out of nowhere? The Seahawks are very good at picking up people in the secondary, like Deshaun Chet, and we all know about Sherman and you know, Maxey and all those guys. And then some people are just good at picking up offensive linemen.
Right.
But do you see such patterns in the league, basically?
Oh, sure. I mean, Pittsburgh is very good at wide receiver. Green Bay is very good at wide receiver. Certainly Dallas, they're on a stretch where they've been very good on the offensive line. But, yeah, some teams just have a knack for being able to do it. I mean, this team has been great as far as cornerbacks, defensive players. Obviously, they got lucky on Russell Wilson and hit on that. They got to get better at the offensive line. But, you know, each team has its little knack of doing things. And, Pittsburgh's, done a reasonably good job on linebackers through the years.
Well, final thing, best regards for your family, John, and hope you have a good one. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Coming up next, go to Josh Weinfuss in Arizona for ESPN.com. Talking about the Cardinals and the moves that they've made. Does he like the coaching staff? Larry Fitzgerald's coming back. Carson Palmer isn't. Josh Weinfuss talking about the Arizona Cardinals next. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Well, it's been quiet on the Seahawks front. I mean, they had five players who got their base salaries guaranteed on the 5 days after the Super Bowl, a week ago Friday. One team that's been very busy has been the San Francisco 49ers. You know, they've been able to re-sign a center, take care of their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, doing all kind of wild stuff right now. They were able to get something done with Cassius Marsh. Then, of course, been pretty quiet right now with the Rams. They've had to make a couple of adjustments on the coaching staff. And the Arizona Cardinals have been very busy. First, they find out and they get the retirement of Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald. At least they snuck this in there. Steve Wilks was on radio on Thursday and just kind of mentions, oh, by the way, I was talking to Larry Fitzgerald last night and Larry said he's coming back. It's like, oh, okay. Well, that was the story that everybody was waiting for, both in Phoenix and also around the National Football League. And then, of course, the hiring of Steve Wilks and the coaching staff. And joining us right now is Josh Weinfuss from ESPN.com. And yeah, it's been a little busy for you, Josh.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, there's about a week of downtime in between them hiring Wilkes, maybe a few weeks, and then the news that Larry's coming back kind of got everything going again. There's the combine coming up, so yeah, it's been a little bit of a hectic offseason, to say the least.
So what do you think of where this team is right now? First, I mean, your thoughts on the hiring of Steve Wilkes as the head coach?
Yeah, I think he alone as a coach is a good decision. I think where I have my questions is, you know, this team is in desperate need of some offensive leadership. They need a quarterback. They don't have one on the roster for next year. They need one, not just for next season, but they need one going forward. And I think what the Cardinals did by hiring Steve Wilks, who's a defensive-minded head coach, is they now put that responsibility on finding a quarterback and grooming a quarterback on someone else. So basically, they've, I think, to some degree, absolved Wilks of any issues with a quarterback for the short term. And I think that's not exactly what you need to do in that situation. I think you want to put everything on the head coach's shoulders when it comes to a quarterback, to make him responsible, to make him feel that pressure, I guess, so he can come through and find that quarterback that this franchise needs. Because, you know, even though Larry's coming back, this team isn't set up very well offensively going forward, and I think that's going to rest on that's going to end up coming back on Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell. Because, you know, by hiring Mike McCoy, you don't know what you're going to get McCoy, because we've seen so many different versions of him as a coach over the years that you don't know what he's going to show this year. So I think they're absolving Wilkes to some degree of responsibility on being quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that is going to be one of the challenges, but yeah, I can tend to agree with that. Yeah, but I mean, is it almost going to be kind of what it was the times without Carson Palmer and the times before Carson Palmer, where, you know, Larry Fitzgerald didn't have his best numbers? I mean, you know, he had yards per attempt and all that going with all the other quarterbacks. I mean, could that start to fall through for the offense?
Oh, well, 100%. I mean, obviously, we'll all depend on who they get as a quarterback, because I think, as we've talked many times about in the past, if this quarterback is better than Drew Stanton, then I think the Cardinals would be in a good position. But if he's at that type of backup level, if he's not necessarily a big-name, big-arm type of quarterback, then I think we're going to see this offense regress a little bit, because Larry Fitzgerald has He's gotten used to playing in the slot. He's gotten used to a specific type of passing game. And if they don't replicate that, I think that all of a sudden you're going to have to rebuild an entire offense mostly from scratch, and I think that's going to be a huge issue for this team. But, I think there is a very good chance we can see the Cardinals revert back to the way they were pre-Carson Palmer and even when they had Carson, but he was injured.
Yeah, one thing I think that is probably in flux even more so than anything else aside from the quarterback position is the offensive line. What do you see sorting on that offensive line? Because it looks like there'll be a bunch of changes.
Yeah, I think what's going to be real interesting is how the Cardinals approach the finances regarding both Jared Valdir, who's the right tackle, and left guard Mikey Potty, because they're both due. Their cap numbers are high next season. So I think if they want to open up some room and maybe make a run at a big free agent quarterback, I think one or both of those guys are going to be cap casualties. So I think you're going to have to rebuild, you know, possibly one or two of those positions. I think, you know, A.Q. Shipley is going to be a question because, you know, I think while he's been very steady and solid for this offensive line, I think he is an undersized center. So depending on how this new regime approaches their offensive line, will they want someone who's a little bit shorter than your typical center to be their guy? So that's going to be an issue. How DJ Humphries returns from his knee injury, I think, will be another big question mark. Alex Boone, he's a free agent to be, but you know, will they want to bring him back? I think it's another big question mark because he played well. You know, he was consistent. He was solid. He wasn't anything great, but he was solid. So I think depending on how much rebuilding and how much revamping they want to do on the offensive line will determine how many guys they keep and how many guys they have to go out and either draft or sign.
Why has it gone so bad on the offensive line?
I mean, I think a large part of it's injuries. I mean, they lost DJ Humphries, their left tackle last season in week one, and then lost him again later in the season. I mean, I think a lot of it is just fluky stuff, and just a lot of it is bad luck. And I think a lot last year, the offensive line didn't have the chance to be saved by a guy like David Johnson. I think that was a huge thing in 2016 because David Johnson could make up for their mistakes. And when you don't have a guy that talented behind you, I think that could show off some of the weaknesses and show some of the liabilities that were on the line. I think that was part of the case last year. But I think a big part was just simple injuries. And that's something NFL teams just can't prepare for. You know, you can have a two deep full of talent, but once those first five start going down, you're getting into your second five, which obviously is not as talented. And then in the Cardinals' case last year, they were going 3 and 4 deep in some positions. I mean, one coach told me after the season that every offensive lineman they had on the roster at some point played. He's like, that never happened. So I think last year I think was kind of, last 2 years to some degree, I think we're just kind of flukes. But, like I said, when you don't have a guy like David Johnson helping you mask your mistakes, that also adds to everything.
One thing, is, as far as unrestricted free agents, I could be wrong on this, but the Cardinals may lead the league in the number of starters who are up. I mean, they have about 8 starters that are up. After last year, they let so many guys go on defense. They have like 5 key guys they kind of let go. That's a little scary.
Absolutely. And I think, they're not as much of an impact. They're not as impactful as the guys were last year. So I think that's the only saving grace for what the Cardinals have coming up. I mean, the biggest name on defense right now as a free agent, I think there's two of them. You have Frosty Rucker, who took over Clay Campbell's spot in the locker room as kind of like the pillar, as the elder statesman. And then you have Tremont Williams, the cornerback, who's also free agent.
Whoops, we're kind of losing you here. There.
John, can you hear me?
No, now I can hear you. Yeah, no, you're good.
Okay, good. Sorry about that. With Frosty Rucker, obviously, he would be a huge loss in terms of leadership in the locker room. And Tremont Williams, even though he's 34, he played very well last season. And I think that they are still looking at the franchise for that corner opposite of Patrick Peterson. And they found him to some degree last year. But the question now becomes, how much do they want to pay a 34-year-old, even though he played well, when you can go out and maybe draft a kid, get somebody a little bit younger who you might have for the long term?
All right, let's talk about the quarterback position. What kind of market will they try to do? Are they going to pay, or are they not going to pay? Are they going to go young? What do you think the quarterback strategy is going to be?
you know, if you go back in their history, they're not paper guys. So, especially quarterbacks. I mean, they got lucky with Carson's deal. You know, that was a great trade for them. But are they going to go and chase a guy like Kirk Cousins? A, I don't know if they have the cap space. And B, I don't know if he's worth that much money to this organization when you have so much money invested in other players. And so it's very tough right now to figure this out because, you know, from a free agent standpoint, there aren't that many great options. You have good options. You don't have great options. I think what could end up happening is I could see them drafting a kid and then signing a veteran as kind of a bridge quarterback, someone they can get through this year, maybe another year, while that rookie develops and grows, and then insert that rookie or that rookie they draft this year, kind of for the long term. But I mean, you got Kirk Cousins, a guy like Josh McCown can end up being a bridge quarterback. You have Sam Bradford, who, while talented, is such an injury liability that I think the only way they would go after a guy like him is if they could maybe, you know, incentivize his contract to the point where they give him not a lot of money up front and have the team protected from injury and then, you know, just have it all incentive-based. But other than that, I think this is the type of draft where they need to make a move as an organization to find and draft that quarterback of the future. And whether that means you trade up to the top 10, top 7, whatever it may be, to draft one of those kids, I think this is the type of draft where that a move like that has to happen, not just for the organization itself, but I think they need to start showing the fans that they are willing to make a move like that because this is a very fair-weather fan base. You know, it's just like any warm-weather market where not a lot of people are from here. Everyone has, you know, the Cardinals tend to be a second team for a lot of people who aren't from here. And I think after the last 2 years, you know, 7-8-1 2016, 8-8 last year, if they don't into their winning ways, I think there's a chance that a lot of those fans who jumped on the bandwagon when Bruce Arians got here in 2013 could be falling off, especially if they don't show as an organization that they're willing to make a sexy move. Go draft a kid who can be the face of this franchise for the long term, because we don't know how much longer Larry Fitzgerald's going to be here. He could be gone after next season. He can be gone in 2 years, but that's going to happen. That's inevitable that he's not going to be the face of his organization anymore. And they need to find someone on offense other than David Johnson who can really be the foundation for this team. And I think that this is the year that they need to find that quarterback.
Yeah, no question. But now, would you think they'll go with a veteran of any kind or just take the young quarterback and develop?
Well, I think they're going to have to find at least one veteran, maybe possibly two, during free agency, because if they just want to rely on strictly young quarterbacks, I think you're going to see I don't think you'll see the results that you want as an organization. I think you'll see a lot of frustration with the older players and maybe even with the guy like Larry Fitzgerald, because I think at some point he still wants to win and he knows he can produce. But if you have a young kid who has to learn an offense, you know, in just a few months, start throwing to a Hall of Fame wide receiver like that, I just don't know if that's going to work. So I think that they'll definitely. I think they'll definitely go after a veteran. I think it's just a matter of what level of veteran. Do you go with a guy who could be your long-term starter, or is it someone who's just a bridge quarterback to get you to that next that answer for the future?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be interesting. I don't know what, because defensively, are they still going to be pretty good? Because I would imagine there's still enough good players on that defense to make them at least competitive in that regard.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you still have guys like Chandler Jones. You have Marcus Golden coming back from a knee injury. Patrick Peterson. You know, you're going to have Deion Buchanan, who's going to be back from an ankle injury. Tyrann Mathieu is, I think, this season is going to be real big for him because he'll be back mentally and emotionally and physically from that knee injury a couple years ago. So we should see the Honey Badger of old back this season. I mean, they definitely have the pieces on defense. I think it'll be real interesting to see how much Al Holcomb and Steve Wilkes change defensively from what James Betcher and Todd Bowles did over the last 5 years, because this defense is very good. And we saw last year how much this defense carried this offense while they had all these injuries offensively. So I think that, like you said, they definitely have the talent to continue being productive. I think it's just going to be a matter of what Al Holcomb, the defense coordinator, and Steve Wilkes do to change things, and if they change anything.
And they are switching to a 4-3, I presume.
you would think. But the one thing that we've heard consistently over the last month or so is that they don't have a system. They don't have a scheme. They have a system. So Steve Wilkes has been very adamant that they're not necessarily going to run a 4-3 or 3-4. They'll be very multiple, which they were last year in the last couple of years under James Thatcher. So if they go to if they make their base a true 3-4, then there's going to be a lot of adapting because a lot of these players are so used to playing in a 3-4 scheme that they've been playing out of the last 3-4 or 5 years.
Okay, looking forward to the combine.
I am. I think especially for the Cardinals, it'll be an opportunity for them to see all the quarterbacks. For me personally, it'll be it'll be an opportunity to see some of these prospects up close. You know, see some old friends.
Mm-hmm.
See you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the thing I'm most excited about next to a San Elmo steak. Of course.
There you go. It sounds good. Hey, Josh, thank you as always.
Of course, anytime.
Josh Weinfuss on ESPN.com covers the Cardinals. All right, we'll take your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Those phone lines at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. This is that's one of the last weeks, I guess, of quiet in the National Football League. This is one of the quieter weeks. It's almost like a kind of early July type of period. But, you know, there's always something going on because everybody's in the evaluation process. They're looking at rosters. They're looking at the draft. They're looking at the cap. You know, they're getting all the adjusted cap numbers and all that. And so, you know, you've got to start to make the decisions. And, you know, not a lot of decisions came out, but there were some. I mean, Derek Johnson not being on the Kansas City Chiefs, they'd elected to kind of move away from him because of a void in the contract. Kansas City then coming in, taking Damon Amerson, the cornerback formerly of the Oakland Raiders, who was cut, and then whacking Darrell Revis. So those are some of the early moves that are being made. Then, of course, you got San Francisco being very, very aggressive. You know, they get a deal done with Cassius Marsh. They get a deal done with Kilgore, their starting center, that about a three-year, $12 million deal. And, of course, the big deal for Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo getting $27.5 million. So those are the things that teams are working on right now. And, again, some of those moves can be, you know, fascinating to watch for. And, again, we're going to start seeing more of those, probably more this week coming up. I saw the biggest news of the week. And, of course, we're taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. One of the big moves was A.J. McCarron. He had a grievance. And the grievance was that they put him, when he came in as a rookie, as on the non-football injury list. He didn't have a serious injury, and he passed the physical. And so they kept him on that list in the entire year. I mean, what they were trying to do was save a roster spot, have him on NFI, and then see where it goes with him. But, of course, by doing it the way they did it, it cost him a year toward free agency. So here he was waiting to become a free agent, knowing that teams are interested in him as a starting quarterback, particularly the Cleveland Browns, and he was being blocked as a restricted free agent. Well, he was able to win the hearing. Now he's a free agent and more likely than not going to the Cleveland Browns because the Browns were willing to trade a second round pick to get him. And I think that what they'll do is give him a chance to start with his former offensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson. Hugh, of course, knows what to do with A.J. McCarron. They were together for four games. And then they'll draft a quarterback, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, or you name it, one of the quarterbacks, Josh Rosen's up top. Maybe they'll even take Baker Mayfield, get the young quarterback, and so that they'll have one quarterback in McCarron this year and then a quarterback in the future when he's able to develop. So you can see that type of strategy in the works right now because at the moment the Browns have a lot of cap room. Don't know if that's a great move or a good move. You know that there's going to be interest by the Denver Broncos in McCarron because he had a good game against them when he came in and filled in a couple years ago for an injured Andy Dalton. So those are some of the interesting things that are heading with some of these teams, and one where it's like, okay, where are all these moves going to go? So McCarron, of course, is in the mix. You know that Kirk Cousins is the main guy. Can he get to the Denver Broncos or can he not? You know, that's going to be one of the questions that has to be up there. So in the moves are starting to happen right now. And again, this is going to be one of the most interesting quarterback years I think we've seen in a long, long time. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to, is it Greg in Ballard? Or is it John in Ballard? Yes.
Hey, Professor, it's great to have you here at
PNW.
You're just a wealth of information. I have a question for you, and I'd like to get your thoughts on the matter. Did you get a chance to read Art Deal's column about the Seahawks trading Russell Wilson, what they
could possibly... I didn't read it, but I did hear him talk about it, and I was just stunned. Just stunned. I mean, listen, I respect Art as much as anybody in this market and anybody I've been around. He's a great columnist. He's thought-provoking, and clearly this was the idea of provoking thought, but it's no thought. You can't do it. What was your thoughts when you read it?
Well, I thought it was a very good article, and that's why I want to talk to you about it real quick, because if Cleveland offered you, hypothetically, John, two first-round picks, a second-round pick, and Danny Shelton, that would give the Seahawks a chance possibly to draft Sam Darnold. And I'm not saying Sam Darnold's going to be as good as Russell Wilson, but his point would be, Fields' point would be that you could get young talent and still be a contending team for the next 5-10 years. And I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you can't do it. I mean, you cannot give up a quarterback. Where do you put him? I mean, I put him in the top five in the league. I mean, he's been to two Super Bowls. He's certainly since coming in 2012, one of the best records, the best record in football. He wins games. He's a champion. And you can't trade that. And again, for four players, that's not going to be enough. And I don't think there is. I mean, you don't see these deals done. It just doesn't happen. I mean, that's why. I mean, the quarterback's the most important thing. I mean, if you dip down because Russell Wilson. I mean, what you see how great he is in his fourth quarter comebacks, right?
Right. He's a great quarterback.
Right.
I agree with you 100%, John. But if you can get a lot of players to return and then you don't have to pay Russell Wilson that salary, it also frees up money for them to go out and get more marquee free agents.
But you won't win. That's where the problem is. A quarterback like Russell Wilson, and just like you saw, I mean, how about you go to Andrew Luck? Now, I would have to say certainly Russell's had a better career than Andrew Luck. They came in the draft together, two rounds apart, and Russell's had the success. Andrew's been successful. But a quarterback like that can make you an 8-8 team if maybe you're a 6-win team or a 5-win team. That's what Andrew Luck does. And Russell Wilson can make, let's say this team dips down and, I think it's still about a 9-10-win team. 9 wins probably right now more so than anything else determining all that. I mean, you lose the ability because, again, what it comes down to in the playoffs, and don't read into this year. This year was an anomaly. Sure, a backup quarterback was a Super Bowl MVP. A backup quarterback took Minnesota to an NFC championship game. But it's the quarterbacks who win. It's the quarterbacks who advance. I mean, take a look. Did you just watched Alex Smith traded to the Washington Redskins, and the reason that they traded him is because, okay, they can get a young quarterback they think can be better in the playoffs with a strong arm down the line than Alex Smith. Because what happens, you see the Alex Smiths, the Matthew Staffords, back when he was playing Tony Romo's, did they win the playoff games? No. They lost the playoff games. What does Russell Wilson do when he's in the playoff games? He wins the playoff
Russell's
games.
Definitely a winner, John. He's one of the most great athletes to ever play in the city of Seattle. But I just looking at that article, it makes you wonder, what if? I mean, that's the thing you always talk about in sports, what if? You know, that's what I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, but what it still comes down to, you cannot make that trade under any circumstance. And that's because, again, when you have a Russell Wilson, you have a chance to maybe get to the Super Bowl and win. Any other quarterback, for the most part, may not get you to the Super Bowl. And also, what you would do, if you give up Russell Wilson to go young with a quarterback, you lose Pete Carroll.
Well, is there anybody on the team, John, that you could see the Seahawks? If the Seahawks keep Russell Wilson, is there anybody else on the team you could see them trading? They talk about Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Well, Earl, I think that, I don't know. You can't really trade Richard Sherman because, again, with the Achilles, that value is not going to meet any kind of expectation. But I think that, Earl can get you the equivalent of a first-round pick. Now, he should be able to get you more, but the circumstances probably dictate it's probably more of a number one or, say, a 2 and a 5 or something like that. So he can get you something. You don't want to trade Bobby Wagner. You don't want to trade any of the linebackers that are there. You can maybe put the franchise tag on Sheldon Richardson and maybe get a second for him. But again, you want to try to get more draft choices, but you don't – if you get the draft choices for Russell Wilson, you basically lose. That's what you can't do it.
All right, John, you have a great day. It's a pleasure listening to you.
Hey, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Coming up next is Dave Grosby. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.